Cascadia. You're listening to your community radio station, KBOO, Portland, Oregon, at 90.7 FM. Today is Tuesday, July 21st, 2009, and this is Air Cascadia. Long on content, short on time. I'm Chris Andre.
And I'm William Delta.
When commissioners flaunt the will of the people, it's time to recall the commissioners, especially when the fate of the Columbia River is in their oily hands.
In Coos Bay, far from the media's range of interest and the attention span, grassroots groups are fending off the liquefied natural gas juggernaut.
And last Thursday, African-American scholar and Harvard professor Henry Louis Gates was arrested for entering his own house. So much for progress on race in America.
Portland area weather, sunny, high near 85. Tonight, clear and lows around 60, and then more of the same for the next few days.
And first we go to regional news from around Cascadia. Last Thursday, the Clatsop County Board of Commissioners voted to approve the Land Use Board's decision, essentially giving the go-ahead to the Bradwood LNG developers. And now, today, Democracy in District 5, or DID5.org, announced that it is filing papers in Clatsop County to recall Commissioner Ann Samuelson. My guest this morning is Mark Auerbach, a resident of District 5. Mark is leading an effort to recall Commissioner Ann Samuelson. Welcome, Mark. Thanks for being with us today.
Good morning.
Thank you so much. First off, I understand, of course, that you filed the recall paperwork this morning. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Why the recall effort?
Well, people are simply outraged at the behavior of our commissioners. I'm from District 5, so I'm working with a group, including the chief petitioner, Betsy Ayers, to recall Ann Samuelson. But at the same time this morning, another group from District 1 filed similar papers to recall Jeff Hazen.
And so what's Ann Samuelson's track record like as a public official?
Well, we think she's just a series of exercises of bad judgment, and it's just culminated in Bradwood landing approvals, which just is the pinnacle of her career of bad decisions.
What other ethical issues have come up in her career?
Well, last year she was recalled from the Jewell School Board, and the Oregon Ethics Commission in a related matter found that she had attended three illegally held meetings of the school board. At the time, she proclaimed her innocence and that she was actually out of town when any of this happened, but the Ethics Board found that there were other instances where they had acted improperly in trying addressing subjects in closed session that shouldn't have been in closed session.
So, what does just briefly to wrap up here? What happens next?
Well, we have 90 days. Well, the first step is that the county clerk approves our petition sheet. Then we have 90 days to collect the requisite number of signatures, about 500 signatures for Ann's district. Then the county clerk approves the signatures. If they find that there are enough approved signatures, the person being recalled, Ann Samuelson, would have 5 days to either respond and face a recall election or resign. If she decides to face a recall election, then the recall election must be called within 35 days. So assuming we get the signatures in short order, this could proceed pretty rapidly.
Thank you so much for that, Mark. My guest has been Mark Auerbach. He is in District 5 and Samuelson's district, and he is part of the effort to recall Commissioner Samuelson. Thank you so much, Mark.
You're quite welcome.
Once again, the anti-tax contingent, red in tooth and claw, are ready to spring on the neck of common sense. And yes, there will be blood. The question is how long reason will go along with it. Yesterday, the hordes of no-government service nuts began their ever more rabid assault on the minor tax increases approved by the legislature and signed into law by Kulongoski. The two bills in question would raise an estimated $733 million in new taxes over the next 2 years. One sets a higher tax rate for upper-income earners, and one increases taxes on corporations.
Following along from our first interview with Mark Auerbach, Olivia Schmidt with Columbia Riverkeeper joins us again today to talk about what the recall movement means in for the LNG opponents. Good morning, Olivia. Thanks so much for being back with us today.
Thanks for having me, Chris.
So, one, there's also, there have been rumblings of other recall movements.
Yeah, you know, this is actually the what we're seeing in the anti-LNG coalition is, you know, it started as a not-in-my-backyard movement, people concerned about public safety and environmental issues in the estuary. That extended to the pipelines, including Mount Hood. Then, you know, we started focusing on things like climate change, and what we're seeing now is a shift toward actually a call for a responsible government representation. That's evidenced by the two recall movements that are happening out in Clatsop County, led by local citizen groups there. And it's a really, you know, it's a heartening display of how organizing in your communities and working on issues that are close to your heart can result in, you know, bigger movements, like
you mentioned
calling
two,
on the responsibility of governmental officials.
You mentioned two recall efforts. Are you able at this time to talk about the second one?
Yeah, you know, I'm not affiliated with those campaigns, but the two local groups in Clatsop County, one is working on District 5, one is working on District 1. They're working to recall two county commissioners that have really led the charge in pushing the Broadwood Landing proposal through and have continually ignored their constituency in favor of, you know, listening to and doing the will of an out-of-state for-profit energy corporation. So, you know, it's really thrilling to see communities come together and do what they feel they need to do to protect their local interests, and that's what we're seeing in Clatsop County right now.
So with recall efforts actually underway, how does that impact the opposition to liquefied natural gas?
Well, I think it just acts as another display of how these communities are strong. They're not backing down. We'll fight this until it goes away. And, you know, people are creative and they're coming up with new ways to deal with the issue, including identifying the corruption they're seeing in their local governments and addressing it through election efforts.
And it is indeed corruption, isn't it? Thanks
indeed.
So much for that. My
Thank
guest
you.
Has been Olivia Schmidt with Columbia Riverkeeper. Thanks again, Olivia.
Thank you.
Yes, pollution is good business. Portland's getting $1.6 million in federal stimulus money to reduce diesel emissions from truck fleets in Portland, Salem, and Multnomah County. But the thing is, regular gasoline fuel vehicles actually produce more climate-damaging pollutants than do their diesel relatives. It's just easier to demonize diesel. There's nothing wrong with the idea of diesel fume reduction. It just isn't that important in the greater scheme of things. But there's money in it and public approval.
And returning to politics as usual, lobbyists turned in their second quarter reports to the Senate Office of Public Records last night. The Center for Responsive Politics will be grabbing that data, processing it, and updating its lobbying database this week. By tomorrow, you'll be able to get a preliminary amount that groups spent on lobbying between April through June. We'll be bringing you an update on how well Senator Wyden and others have done so far this reporting period.
Turns out that trout make better human cancer research subjects than mice, but of course not as good as humans. The Oregonian says, quote, "A rainbow trout can inspire and inform. It can lead a young fisherman to a lifelong career studying human health." Unquote. In other words, if you like fishing, you'll love medical school. It's all happening at Oregon State University. Aside from providing a grand dinner, a trout can reveal the risks of carcinogens, help develop treatments to prevent cancer, and attract millions of dollars to OSU.
With a little parsley and lemon. While opponents of the Broadwood Landing LNG proposal have a coalition of grassroots groups and advocacy organizations working to protect the Columbia River, on the state's southern coast, the struggle looks a lot different. Local citizens are doing all the heavy lifting. Jody McCaffrey is one Coos Bay activist who devotes an extraordinary amount of time and personal resources to opposing the Jordan Cove development. Jody is joining us by phone today from Coos Bay to talk about this week's agenda. Good morning, Jody. Thank you so much for taking the time to talk with us.
Yes, thank you for having me.
There's a lot going on down your way this week, and it would certainly behoove all of us to pay close attention and get involved as soon as possible. It's the hour is late. What's going on this week?
Well, this week for me, I'm doing several things, and tomorrow night I'm doing an solar and energy efficiency meeting with Oregon Department of Energy, Energy Trust, and USDA Rural. that will talk to people about these incentives for doing renewable projects. Right now in Oregon, we have incredible incentives that just about pay for your project if you want to do one, if you can do it, to go through their process. But then on Thursday at 1:30, we have a hearing on the Land Use Board of Appeals remand issues that were with the Jordan Cove Energy Project. They were sent back. The things that we won on in that case that were sent back to Coos County, there is a hearing now on those issues. That will be at 1:30. You can't add more information, and it has to be what's already in the record, that particular hearing. And then, of course, next week on the 30th, there's a hearing in Douglas County that has to do with 7.31-mile stretch of pipeline that goes through Douglas County that's in the coastal zone management area. And on that one, you have to have your testimony, written testimony in by the 22nd, which is tomorrow, in order to be a party to the proceeding.
So in other words, what we're looking at here, really, these enormous corporations with legions of lawyers, lobbyists, all every possible arsenal arrayed against a handful of people who have jobs and lives and families to attend to, who merely want to protect their environment and their way of life from the depredations of these investors, developers, and so forth. What's it been like for you personally, this struggle?
It's been very difficult. We do not have the resources to really fight these people. They have millions of dollars, and we're having to like do everything we can on our own or raise the money. Every time I've needed an attorney, I've had to raise the money to go and then go get the, find an attorney that will help us for a reasonable fee. So some of these fights, we have to just fight them as the best we can on our own without attorneys because we don't have that kind of resource.
Are you a nonprofit? Can you take donations? How do you manage to field legal counsel?
We do have a nonprofit, SLO, which is out of Grants Pass, that will take funds. You can make checks out to SLO at Friends of Living Oregon Waters and send them to me to our PO box at, which is PO Box 1113 in North Bend, Oregon 97459. Those funds are tax deductible, and they go into our legal fund, which we pull from when we need funds to do legal things. And right now we've got like four hearings that they've bombarded us with in this time of the year. Most of our people are on vacation. They did it deliberately, of course, so that we could be stretched very thin. So some of them we're going to try to have, we're just trying to fight these as best we can as individuals, you know, from our own research and doing things. And then we will try to get attorneys when we absolutely feel we have a good chance of winning.
Thank you so much for that, Jody. We'd like to have you back as a guest again to give us an update on the results of those meetings and keep people here in the Portland area informed, because this affects all of us. Thanks so much. My guest has been Coos Bay grassroots activist and organizer Jody McCaffrey.
Thank you.
Colleagues of Henry Louis Gates, Jr., Harvard's most prominent scholar of African American history, are accusing the police of racism after he was arrested at his home last week by an officer investigating a report of a robbery in progress. Professor Gates, who has taught at Harvard for almost 20 years, arrived home Thursday from a trip to China to find his front door jammed. Apparently a woman, not a neighbor, called the police. There was an altercation, and Harvard professor and distinguished African-American scholar Henry Louis Gates was arrested.
It's absolutely unconscionable that in this country, with its history, at this time, something like that could possibly happen. I find it very hard to process. Back to Cascadia just briefly. Here's another great way to stop poisoning the public. Reduce the use of deadly herbicides along state highways and byways. But not by much. Oregon's Department of Transportation has decided to extend its no-spray project on roadside shoulders along, wait for it, 25-mile stretch of 101 from Newport South to the Lane County line. That's until at least 2011. That's 25 miles. Everyone else had better hope that those trout are on the job, because we're dead meat till we come to our senses and stop coating the world in carcinogens.
This has been Headlines and Commentary from Air Cascadia for Tuesday, July 21st, 2009. Today's editor is Chris Andre. Engineering is Janet Anderson. The KBOO Interim News and Public Affairs Director is Trillium Shannon, sitting in for Kathleen Stevenson on sabbatical. I'm Liam Delta.
And I'm Chris Andre. You're listening to member-supported KBOO Portland, your community radio at 90.7 FM. Your support, and your support only, keeps us subverting the dominant paradigm. Thank you so much, members.
Coming up next, Uprising Radio. Ellen Schaefer from the Center for Policy Analysis on Healthcare, Glenn Ford of the Black Agenda Report on Obama and student loans, commentary on the late Robert McNamara, and Iran's evolution on a revolution.
That's Robert Strange McNamara.
Robert Strange.
Thanks for listening and have a good day.